Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. War Room Live is on. Second hour has begun. We're going to be joined by Kriston T. Harris in the second half of this hour. We'll also be showing a very funny skit by J.P. Sears coming up. Stay tuned for that. Now, I got so much to talk about. And, you know, I try to cover things sort of in blocks. You know, it's like, okay, we'll talk about the wars going on, and then we'll talk about the crime in America. Doesn't always work. Sometimes I'm jumping around here or there. And sometimes I don't know how to categorize things other than just general destruction, general degradation, ubiquitous and devastating. So, like, I've got a video of a guy who claims that he's paid in Ontario to fly around in small planes dropping off boxes of ticks in the wilderness. We may have confirmation of that. I've got video about people who do research into the toxicity of bottled waters being sued by the water companies. I've got videos about how Georgia is basically being turned into a state of data centers, and data centers will be the only thing that exists in Georgia. And it's like all of these things completely disseparate. I mean, what do data centers have to do with bottled water other than it's just the general deliberate poisoning of America happening at an incredibly rapid rate. And this is, just like the war in Iran, totally and completely contrary to everything that Donald Trump said when he was running for office. And even, you know, for the first year that he was in office, they seem to have reversed on absolutely everything and are not only not doing the things that we want and making America healthier and bringing peace in the world, but just deliberately and, you know, very powerfully doing everything that we don't want them to do. And it's just beyond infuriating because it's so clearly calculated to destroy life in this country. And there's no other reason to do any of this stuff. And it's a lot of stuff. I mean, just today, not only do we already have lakes going dry here in Texas, in Nevada, the Hoover Dam isn't even holding back water anymore as they drain our aquifers to the point of non-existence. On top of that, you obviously have the oncoming shortages with what's going on in Iran. On top of that, you've got all the various diseases that they seem desperate to fearmonger about. Ebola today, Hanta virus yesterday, God only knows what's going to be next. All of these things happening all at once while they are giving immunity to the companies doing this, giving greater access to the chemicals that we've been resisting this whole time. Maybe this will be fun to study in 200 years. Maybe it'll be a fun sort of experiment to go in and be like, how did this happen? But here in the moment living in it, it's just infuriating, baffling, and head spinning. Just how rapidly, just how in an inverted way, everything that we elected Trump to fight, he is doubling down and actually spearheading. And it's crazy. And the only thing that explains it is Israel. Why would that be the case? I don't, you know, this might be a little esoteric. Like, see if you can understand where I'm coming from here. Donald Trump, seemingly for the first couple of years that he was a public figure, understood everything that Alex Jones, myself, like the things that we believed, globalism is over, nationalism will be our credo. Like, he seemed to get it. Even Maha, you know, embracing Robert F. Kennedy. And, you know, Donald Trump was probably one of the first celebrities in the world to connect autism with vaccines. The phrase, it's probably like the most commonly used refrain. I mean, Donald Trump has changed the way that we talk. His sort of idioms and the way he phrases things have worked their way into the English language. Almost every day I hear somebody saying many such cases, right? That's one of these Trumpisms, many such cases. That was from his tweet about autism. It was healthy kid goes in to get vaccines, comes out autistic, many such cases. So he knows this. So he's aware of this. And then you have the heel turn. Then you have around 2025, things go off the rails. And the man who was the peace candidate, the peace president, no wars, who made his name and built his original political following on the fact that he alone, out of the Republican candidates, he alone stood against the wars in the Middle East and powerfully argued against them and blamed them on George W. Bush and Dick Cheney and the liars that got us into them the first time around. For him to completely reverse on that and actually do the thing that every other president refused, going into war with Iran on behalf of Israel. Then you look at that and you say, okay, he's completely flipped. He is acting completely at odds with his promises during the campaign trail. What explains this? And the answer is obviously Israel. So we don't have to speculate about that. We don't have to speculate about what brought about the heel turn on intervention in the Middle East or Jeffrey Epstein. There's only one possibility. There's only one answer, and it's Israel and the Jewish diaspora. That's it. You don't have to wonder. So then you look at everywhere else that he has flipped his positions, where he is going completely against what he promised to do on the campaign trail, and you don't see an obvious reason. It's not as straightforward as Israel wants it, so Trump is doing it. But what else would be the answer? So, like, what we know from the information that we have, from what we can observe and is undeniable, is that when Trump reverses on his position, when we know the cause of that, the cause is Israel. Now, we have other instances where, again, he has reversed his position, but we don't have an obvious reason. I think it's perfectly valid to say, could this not also be as a consequence of Israel? And then you look into what these things are and whether it's data centers or whether it's the poison in our food and water. It's in line with the Israel first fifth column that exists in this country. As the video that we showed at the beginning of this hour showed, you know, Larry Ellison himself actually helped to set up the social credit score in China. He now, of course, runs Oracle, is helping to build all of these data centers, was the key mover and shaker when it came to Operation Stargate, which is the, you know, militarization basically of these data centers. In addition to that, Larry Ellison worked to install Tony Blair and get Tony Blair's son to run the digital ID program in England. So you've got like the same, literally the same people, the same figures, the Larry Ellisons, the Tony Blairs, the Sam Altmans, like all these people using their influence in all these different Western countries to all push towards surveillance, censorship, you know, data centers, as well as people like Lee Zeldin in the EPA doing all the hard work to make sure that the big corporations can poison us with Roundup or put atrazine in our water or, you know, fill our natural world with microplastics. Like, is it that big of a stretch to say, gee, Trump is flipped on the Israeli topics because Israel, he's also flipped on the data center and the MAHA topics. Could that not also be motivated by the very same people and perhaps with the very same impetus as him flipping on the war in Iran and all of these things? I don't think that's so far-fetched. And I think once you see this holistically, it actually is not that hard to understand why the war in Iran and the data centers being built are in fact part and parcel of the same ultimate globalist movement to consolidate control worldwide, create a one world government that's centered in Israel and that is unquestionable and sovereign over the rest of the world, where the rest of us, you know, live on the scraps. And then you add in the immortality tech to this stuff and it all becomes even more overwhelming and monolithic. Monolithic is the operative word there. So again, I'm going to try to get to all of these and try to draw the lines between them. But just understand that, like, if you view these conflicts from the point of view of Israel, it all makes a lot more sense. It all makes a lot more sense because then, you know, if you view it as an American, you're trying to find out what the American interests are and how American interests clash with Israeli interests and how we're on the side of Israel in the Middle East, even though they do some stuff that we don't like. We're more against their opponents. It gets a little complicated. There's some, you know, inconsistent or, you know, just sort of confusing alliances being drawn. But if, however, you view it from Israel and you understand that to the Israeli perspective and in the Israeli worldview, there's only two sides, Israel and everybody else, then all of this kind of makes more sense. In other words, to the Israelis out there, you heard Benjamin Netanyahu, the Eighth Front War, America's the new Rome, we're going to win this one this time. They view Americans in exactly the same way that they view Palestinians. Now, with Palestinians in Gaza or elsewhere, They can bomb them with impunity. They can send their settlers to harass and murder them. And then they can have the IDF come in and sweep it all up. And, you know, if anybody objects, you can rape them to death. So, you know, they've got that whole place sort of on lock, and they can act with impunity and act out sort of their most egregious, sickening ethnocentric fantasies of murder and terror and revenge for perceived, wrongdoing 1,000 years ago. But they can't really do that in America, right? Obviously, they can't have settlers just move into America and expect Americans to have to comply in the way that the disarmed and disaffected and disenfranchised Palestinians do. So they have to approach us with a different tactic. Now, the goal is the same. The ultimate goal is to have America looking like Gaza currently looks. Only to get there, they've got to severely weaken our defenses first. So what do you think they did in Gaza before launching the full attack, right? You arm the extremists, you cut off the food and water, you weaken the population to the maximum degree, and then you launch the attack. So when you see it from that perspective, and you know that people like Larry Ellison and all these people, and again, I'll point out that they see themselves and operate as a nobility. They operate as an aristocracy. David Ellison is the one who runs CBS News. He's the one that purchased it, right? That's Larry Ellison's son, just like Tony Blair's son is the one who runs Digital ID, just like George Soros's son, Alexander, now runs his operation. They treat these like dynasties. These aren't merit-based. These aren't, you know, organizations that act like any other normal corporation where you've got a board that decides things. No, these are treated as monarchies that are passed down from father to son, and the sons are trained from birth to, you know, achieve this position once they're of age. So you got to understand, they see themselves as an aristocracy. They do not see themselves as American, and they see everybody who's not a, you know, diehard Israeli Zionist as a Palestinian, a terrorist, even if they're just a baby in a crib. So when you look at America through that lens and through those eyes, it's pretty obvious why all of these methods of weakening us are being employed by literally exactly the same people that are doing it overseas to everywhere. That's not Israel. It's, you know, sort of not that complicated, actually, if you really boil it right down. And we'll go to a bunch of videos illustrating this. But I do want to tell you about some sales that we have at thealexjonesstore.com, since we're almost halfway through the show and I haven't even mentioned it once. And that's very stupid, because we've got big goals, big ambitions here at the Alex Jones Network. We have big things in the work and in the works, and, you know, big developments in terms of the studios that we're creating, the people that we're trying to hire, the plans that we have to hit the ground running and, you know, reclaim our position in the American media landscape as not just the best source for news available on the internet and radio and TV, but also as a, you know, core hub of activism around the country, as we're, you know, doing now with the Thomas Massie event. Luckily, we've got a bunch of friends and collaborators who are there as content creators who can feed us information and contact us there. But we want our own reporters on the ground. We want our own cameramen going and capturing the footage on the ground. And to do that, we need your support. We need your help. We've been able to survive. We've been able to manage the bankruptcy without really losing a step. And, you know, I'm very proud of what Alex Jones and the Alex Jones Network have been able to pull off. And that's only because of your support and because of your sharing the links and helping people out. And I still see people on X commenting under my videos. Hey, you guys, somebody commented yesterday, hey, you guys should have another InfoWars site. I miss InfoWars.com, where, you know, you guys should have another site. We do. It's AlexJonesLive.com, AlexJonesLive.com, AlexJonesLive.com. That's a new website. But to support us, you got to go to TheAlexJonesStore.com. And right now, you can get a buy one, get one mega flash BOGO sale. The T3 buy, if you get T3 trifecta iodine tincture, you get a second one absolutely free. If you buy the methylene blue tincture, you get a second one absolutely free. The T3 trifecta iodine tincture is built to support thyroid health, hormone balance, metabolism, energy, and daily wellness. Methylene blue tincture supports mental clarity, cognitive function, cellular energy, and mitochondrial performance. There's also, you know, massive discounts on just all of our top-selling products, including zeolite tincture, creatine powder, atomic defense, methylene red tincture, MK Ultra, ultimate chill energy. All of those are 35% off. War Cry smelling salts are 40% off right now. And we also have the limited edition new Memorial Day shirt and hat. The shirt says, "We are because they were." And the hat says, "Never forget." It's about honoring the heroes who gave everything so that we can live free and living up to their memory and living up to their sacrifice. Get the new Memorial Day gear at thealexjonesstore.com. That's thealexjonesstore.com. We need and are ever thankful for your support. We know people who listen to us aren't, for the most part, you know, scam artists living off the sweat of others. We understand that you work hard for your money, and we do not take it for granted, and we appreciate everything that you spend at thealexjonesstore.com, and we put it directly back into this operation, and we hope only to be worthy of the trust you place in us. So let's go now to clip number 11. Well, should we start there? Because I did just talk about some of, because again, this is it's an information war, but it's also a chemical war, and the chemical war facilitates the information war. And there's endless studies on this. In fact, there was a very interesting thing today. I'll have to find the article, but it's about basically the reaction that the human body has to like embracing your child and just the chemicals that explode in your brain to reinforce the connection with your child, and how that chemical in your brain that reinforces the love of your child is also the chemical that determines whether you are xenophobic or not. And basically it's like weird, but it's actually like the more connected you are to your kid, the more likely you are to dislike or be suspicious of outsiders. And there's a lot of stuff like this. You know, they wrote the article, you know, a couple years ago. We used to talk about it all the time. It used to be like a standard. We like had it just in the system because we talked about it so much. But the idea that you can shut off parts of the brain that make you more open to accepting migrants and more open to like DEI. And so, I mean, if they could, they would go into your brain and they would shut off the parts of your brain that do a lot of things, because the same parts of your brain that might make you, you know, an ethno-nationalist, might make you xenophobic against outsiders. It also happens to be the same part of the brain and the same function that makes you believe in God, right? There's a very interesting chemical spiritual connection to these things, and we'd be remiss if we didn't notice and then work to combat the attacks against this sort of stuff, which is becoming increasingly difficult to do, especially since the champion that we elected to head up this fight for humanity versus the globalist machine has instead sold us out and working on their behalf. So we have stuff like this. Trump admin authorizes continued use of cancer-causing endocrine disrupting pesticide atrazine. That, of course, is the chemical that makes frogs gay. It's a chemical that has been banned in 60 countries. The U.S. Trump U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has finalized a review of atrazine that concludes the potent cancer-causing endocrine disruptor does not pose an extinction risk to any threatened or endangered animals or plants. The court ordered final review, which came in response of a legal challenge by the Center for Biological Diversity, was released to the center late Friday afternoon. The controversial finding contrasts sharply with a 2021 Environmental Protection Agency determination, that the pesticide is likely to harm more than 1,000 protected species. The new finding comes despite widespread atrazine contamination of the nation's waterway caused by tens of millions of pounds of the pesticide being used each year in industrial agricultural operations. So again, I ask, what the hell? I mean, I guess the only thing to say now is what the hell? Why is Donald Trump's EPA basically ignoring the threat of atrazine and allowing it to continue operation? 60 other countries have banned this pesticide. Why in America do we insist on pouring millions of tons of it on the food that we eat and into the waterways where our fish and wildlife swim? Is it perhaps not despite the endocrine disruption qualities of atrazine, but instead literally because of that? Because sure, they could kill pests in other ways, but what do you do if you want to weaken and feminize the entire population? You do it chemically by poisoning their food. Likewise, EPA wants to repeal limits on forever plastics, forever chemicals in drinking water. Oh, just what we need, just what we voted for. You know, when I was standing in line to vote in November of 2024, I was thinking, gosh, if only we can win this election, then finally we can, you know, get rid of the cap of forever chemicals and finally have our water fully poisoned once and for all. I think this is what we all voted for, isn't it? The EPA on Monday proposed repealing limits on four types of forever chemicals in drinking waters while delaying regulations on two others. Drawing swift criticism from both environmental activists and Make America Healthy Again movement that has supported President Donald Trump and doesn't really support him anymore for obvious reasons, because he has so clearly reversed on all of this stuff. So again, back to the beginning of this segment, is it not valid, interpretation of this to say, why has Trump reversed on these policies? Why has he decided to give in to the lobbies that are seemingly desperate above all else to poison the American people? Why, is he battling with Thomas Massie when Thomas Massie single-handedly almost stopped the immunity from data centers from going forward? Why is everything that Trump is engaged in right now seemingly completely focused on the total and cellular level destruction of the American people? And if you can find a reason other than Israel's plan for global domination, I'd love to hear it. Let's go to clip number 34 now. I won't be able to see this whole thing, but this is a little report about the AI immunity bill that Thomas Massie was able to put a stop to. Let's watch. Oh, we don't have that one quite yet. All right, we'll go to that one next. Actually, when we get back into the next segment, I'm going to be showing a bit of a longer skit from J.P. Sears, again, about Thomas Massie and Israeli influence. But we can go to clip number 11 here. This is Georgia basically turning into one large data center. Let's watch.
So Georgia's just going to be one big data center. You guys, that is not one data center. That number right there is how many are right here. Also, I just found out that data centers don't even have to legally report how much water they use. Just when you think it can't get any worse, Georgia Power is taking people's property and homes through eminent domain to expand their high voltage power lines to support these data centers. Now, the lovely interns at Science for Georgia have made some interactive maps. The black spots are current data centers. The orange ones are ones that are coming. Look at the numbers just in this area. So these are the current operational estimates for water usage in Georgia. Now, why is this an estimate? Oh yeah, that's right, because they don't legally have to report how much water they're using. However, Senator Durbin out of Illinois has proposed this Water and Energy Transparency Act. The data centers would need to report their energy and water use, and this was just introduced in March. But then I was like, aren't they paying for water by the gallon? They are. And in fact, usually at a much lower rate than you and I. They negotiate rates. Google, for example, paid $6.08 per 1,000 gallons, whereas the locals were paying $10.80 per 1,000 gallons. But just because they're paying for it doesn't mean they have to report
it. That's from TikTok user Peggy Bolton. I don't know. Why is it eminent domain if it's all private industry? That's kind of confusing, isn't it? Because it's not private. It's all government. It's all super.
I am